Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 10th May 2018 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu and very happy to offer to you a beautiful bhajan on Lord Krishna. Again, a bhajan which used to be sung in the earlier times, a sweet bhajan, very melodious, very simple tune as well as very simple lyrics. So let's listen how the bhajan flows. This is the first line.
Giridhar Bala Gopala.
So like in every episode of this program, we'll get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga. And then I will try to share with you some insights on the words that make the bhajan. And finally, we will listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this beautiful bhajan. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Giridhara Bala Gopala Govinda Govinda Gopala Giridhara Bala Gopala Gopilola Gopala Govardhanodhari Gopala.
Now that you are familiar with the words of this bhajan, let's listen to how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh will now give us a demonstration of the tune of the bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F sharp pancham.
Giridhar Bala Gopala Giridhar Bala Gopala Giridhar Bala Gopala Giridhar Bala Gopala Govinda Govinda Gopala Govinda Govinda Gopala Govinda Govinda Gopala Govinda Govinda Gopala Giridhar Bala Gopala Giridhar Bala Gopala Gopilola Gopala Gopilola Gopala Gopilola Gopala Gopilola Gopala Govardhanodhari Gopala Govardhanodhari Gopala Govardhanodhari Gopala Govardhanodhari Gopala Giridhar Bala Gopala
So that's a lovely melody on Lord Krishna. Brother Srinivasulu gave us a beautiful demonstration of how it flows. Just like many vintage bhajans that we have seen in this program, this too is a short and sweet bhajan. Let us learn a little more about the swaras of the bhajan. What is the basis for the bhajan to have such a simple melody? Brother Anirudh is here to share his thoughts on the composition and the making of this bhajan. So, Brother Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the raga of this bhajan?
Sairam Bishu.
Sairam.
This beautiful bhajan is composed based on the raga Shankaravaranam, or we call it Bilawal in the Hindustani classical music. All are very simple notes like Shuddha notes in the raga.
Sarigama padani sanidapamagarisa.
But in the given set of seven notes, to compose such a beautiful melody with simple Namavali lyrics is something which is very extraordinary. And this bhajan, what I like in this bhajan so much is the simplicity, and yet it's filled with melody, as you said.
It's captivating.
Yes, yes.
Though it is simple, it is still very captivating.
Yes. It's also a challenge as to, you have four lines. In the given four lines, what are the words you put? What is the tune you put? So that in such a way that it doesn't become complicated, at the same time it becomes easy to follow.
Yes.
Like how Bhagavan expects all of us to participate in the bhajan. And also there is added beauty of melody in it. So if you see in all that angle, this bhajan is an entire package, I can say, that it has only four lines and the lyrics are simple Namavali and the tune is so filled with melody.
Beautiful. So it is Shankarabharanam.
Yes, Shankarabharanam or Bilawal. There is one more rag called Yaman Kalyan, where most of our, I can say most of the major Shuddh kind of Shuddh notes, the bhajans with the more of Shuddh notes, come under this rag called Yaman Kalyan, where you have some notes taken from Shankarabharanam and also some Tivrama.
Yes.
And also a Tivrama being added to it. So that becomes Yaman Kalyan. So maybe when we give examples for the similar bhajan, so there might be a Tivrama also being added to the bhajan. And I'm sure that is in the flow, it just comes. The composer gets the idea and just being going to the Tivrama and coming back to the Shuddha Madhyamam is, it's not that different from the flow of the notes. So if you see the similar bhajans for this, like
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It absolutely sets the mood to follow.
Yes.
And that's how bhajan should be. Also you have what Swami used to sing.
Om Shivaya, Om Shivaya.
Just few lines, few notes, that's it. Then you have
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So all this come under the Shankarabharanam or the Bilawal category, I can say. And if you notice, all these bhajans are very simple and the lyrics are also very simple to follow. Everybody can participate well in the bhajan.
In fact, whenever there are many Westerners in the audience,
yes,
you know,
yes,
it is always nice to sing these bhajans because, you know, they follow so effortlessly.
Yes, yes, because there the Western major scale is what we call it Shankarabharanam in the Carnatic music. So anything they learn with the C major chords and then it goes on and on. So most of their compositions also are set to this major scale, this major way of rendition. That is, we call it Shankarabharanam. So that's why when you see, whenever we sing Hare Krishna or Shambho Mahadeva, for example.
Shambho Mahadeva.
Yes. Because there is not much of gamakas, there is not much of decoration in the bhajan. It's all about you standing on the same note of the bhajan. And their vocal chords are also so trained in standing on the same note that it's easy for them as well. Since Parthi is a global, filled with global audience, so that is also one important point to remember when we sing bhajans, actually.
Yes.
Because whether foreigners also follow the bhajan, or at least make sure there is one Western bhajan, or that's why I think we sing Swami's bhajan much often, because they are so popular.
Correct.
And very simple to follow, including the simple Namavali.
I think many of Swami's bhajans are in Shankarabharanam, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, Swami has also sung many other bhajans like Srinivasa Govinda and Bhavabhai Harana, which is Sindhu Bhairavi.
Yes.
Vahe Guru, which is a Darbari, another mix. And there are a few bhajans in Shankarabharanam like Om Shivaya.
Yes.
Then Hare Rama, which I mentioned.
Yes.
Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam.
Yes. So bhajan started with Shankarappa.
Yes. That's an interesting observation.
Yes, Shankara. Shankara started bhajans with Shankarapranam Raga.
Yes.
Wonderful. So can we spend some more time on Shankarapranam?
Yeah, so maybe since it's a Krishna bhajan, maybe we can take upon few names of Krishna and then try to sing it like a dhun.
Sure.
Or
yeah,
whatever idea
yeah,
song
yeah,
it
dhun would be very nice. Yeah.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Shriman Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Shriman Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Hari Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Hari Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Hari Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Hari Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Sai Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Lakshmi Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Sai Narayana Narayana
Narayana.
Sriman Narayana Narayana Narayana.
Just reminded of bhajans in the vintage era. I think that is how they used to have bhajans go on for, you know, 15 minutes,
yes,
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because bhajans used to be so simple and they easily lend themselves to becoming a dhun.
Yes.
And you know, so like this they would change Lakshmi Narayana, Satya Narayana, Sai Narayana, Badri Narayana.
Yeah.
And it would go on.
Yes.
And on and on. And Swami loved it because, you know, you don't need much technical expertise to sing. You
Absolutely.
Only have to think of him. And you just have to be lost in the Namasmarana. And because people will follow so enthusiastically,
yes.
so easily, so effortlessly, they are also into the feeling of the bhajan.
Yes,
so everybody
absolutely.
Is lost only just chanting and losing themselves, looking at Swami and just being in bliss.
Yes,
I think that is what bhajan sessions in earlier era used to be like. Of course, I mean, it's the same even now, but I think
I think that with more people coming in,
yes,
because the previously we had bhajans with very less people,
yes,
just 4 to 5 members in the bhajan group,
yes,
so each one had solid like 15-20 minutes because and of course the uncertainties of Bhagwan,
yes.
when he will come for darshan,
correct.
You don't know, and when he'll go back for rounds, so it used to go on and on. Now that, you know, after he established the university with
yes.
students coming in and so many people have joined a something
yes.
called a Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group.
Yes.
I can't even imagine unless he had made into pair singing, I would
yeah.
have not got into Bhajan group as well.
Yeah, I know. Because there's so many singers.
Yes, so many singers, so many tabla players. So, Swami had that master plan. He
yes.
planned it so beautifully that he started with a small... the Nagar Sangeetan or
yes.
from the Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam, which
yes.
he himself started.
Mm.
And he took the bhajan group
yes.
in such a wonderful way that we take lessons from the old vintage bhajans
yes.
and also we make everybody join the bhajan group through
yes.
this, the current singing and the current music, I can say, because those days you didn't have a tabla.
Yes.
We had only the kanjira, chik, chik, chik,
yes.
and the talam, which used to go on as
yes.
an accompanying instrument. But now we have more instruments like tabla and naal, dholak.
Mm.
So,
yes.
I think that the grandeur of the bhajans is much more.
Yes.
That's what I think as the
yes.
bhajans.
Oh, of course you had, because so many composers came in.
Yes.
Student
many.
Composers also, you know, started creating their own bhajans. So
yes.
definitely you had a lot more variety coming in.
Yes. But we go back to the roots.
Yes.
Taking from the vintage. Because
I think that is, but the roots are here. These are the years when the foundations
yes.
of the Sai Bhajan movement were laid down.
Exactly.
So I think it is really wise, it is really prudent for us to fall back on those bhajans, fall back on those times and
yes.
derive inspiration from them
yes,
as
yes.
we go forward.
Yes.
Because, you know, those were the years where Swami was sort of establishing how he wants the bhajans to be.
Absolutely.
And after that, you know, given that he's, you know, such a loving Lord, he allowed different people to come in and, you know, offer their music in their own ways. So we have had, there is no style of music that is not covered in the Sai bhajans.
Absolutely.
Because Swami wanted that, you know, Swami is like that. I mean, he's a ocean, Sai bhajans also are an ocean.
Yes.
So everybody is welcome. But I think keeping the spirit of the Sai bhajan movement rooted to those times is what is really
it's very important
good for us. Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful.
In fact, even I can completely agree on this part that even we sing a bhajan with no musical accompaniments also, but with a feeling.
Yes.
And that's what the Swami would want that, want it that way rather than have, it, not that he's mandatorily have a tabla or a harmonium.
Absolutely.
So the musical instrument is just decorating the bhajan. Mm. It will enhance the energy, but the roots, as you said, are in these namavalis and the feeling in which we sing.
When Swami sang Manasa Bhajara, I don't know, there were no instruments, you know. He just sat on a rock and just started. I don't know if Talam also was there, nothing was there. And if you think also, there are so many Sai centers where, you know, they don't have accomplished harmonium players.
Yes,
they don't have accomplished people who can play tabla. But they do bhajans, you know. Everybody tries to play.
Even so many home bhajans.
So many home bhajans. And it is blissful for them.
Yes.
And that's how bhajan should be. You don't need anything. I mean, if something is there, well and good. Even if it is not there, nothing can lessen the impact that the bhajan can make.
Yes.
If you're singing with feeling,
With the bhava is
with the
bhava.
Part. Yeah. Hmm. So anyway, for the music enthusiasts, let's do the swaras.
Yes. So for the singers to sing in a better way, to know each note where to stand. It's the singers have more responsibility as to make others also lost in the session.
Yes.
So for that reason, we are giving the swaras and so that the singer can really learn the bhajan well.
And let's stick to the purity of the tune.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the first line.
Giridhar Bala Gopala Ninini Sare Magari Sanisa Nini ni sa ni ma ga ri sa ni sa Govinda Govinda Gopala Ga ga ri ma 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 ga ma ga ri sa Ga ga ri ma 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 ga ma ga ri sa Giridhar Bala Gopala Nini ni sa re ma ga ri sa ni sa Nini ni sa re ma ga ri sa ni sa Gopi lola gopala Pa 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 da da sa da pa ma ma Pa 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 da da sa da pa ma ma Govardhano dhari gopala Ga ga ri ma 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 ga ma ga ri sa Ga ga ri ma 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 ga ma ga ri sa
In fact, after doing swaras, I'm getting reminded of more bhajans. Like
He Nanda Nanda Gopala Nanda Nanda Gopala Hari Hari Om Shiva Shankara Om Narayana Hari Om Narayana Hari Om
It's beautiful bhajan.
Bhajaman Ram, Panduranga Shri Ranga Bhajaman Ram.
So there are many bhajans.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Shankara Bhandam is one of those ragas where you have many simple Sai bhajans, isn't
it? Yes.
Yeah, wonderful. So let's do the beat.
The beat of this bhajan is simple 8-beat, Aditalam or Kehrwa in the classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2... 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Giridhar Bala Gopala. Giridhar Bala Gopala. Govinda Govinda Gopala. Govinda Govinda Gopala. Giridhar Bala Gopala. Giridhar Bala Gopala. Gopi Lola Gopala. Gopi Lola Gopala. Govardhano Dhari Gopala. Govardhano Dhari Gopala. Govardhano Dhari Gopala. Govardhano Dhari Gopala. Giridhar Bala Gopala.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So now you know all about singing this bhajan correctly, technically, but for this bhajan to fill us with the love that Krishna embodies, with the love that Sai wants us to always live in, we have to fill in lot more into this bhajan as we sing. We may know the tune well, but that is not enough to attune our mind to the Lord. The tune is just one of the very, very small little things that will help us to derive joy from this bhajan. But what will fill the Lord with joy is how we sing it. Are we singing it from our lips? Are we singing it from our mind? Or are we singing it from our heart? Is the voice coming from the throat, or is the voice coming from the navel? If you think about the words that make the bhajan, we are familiar with all the words. These are very, very common names of the Lord. But each word, if you think deeper, has such profound meaning. Giridhara Bala Gopala. This is the first line of the bhajan.
Giridhara Bala Gopala.
So if you take this line, Giridhara, Giri means mountain. Giridhara is one who holds the mountain. Bala, Gopala, little Gopala. We know from Bhagavatam how as a little one, Krishna held aloft the mountain to protect the residents of Gokul Vrindavan and to subdue the anger of Lord Indra. When ego arises, the Lord knows how to teach each one of us the right lesson. He knows who has to be protected. He knows who has to be corrected. And he does it in such a fantastic manner that you can never ever forget till eternity. And the charming Lord always does it in the most enigmatic manner. Every time we look at that scene of Krishna holding the huge mountain, we should remind ourselves that the Lord will go to any extent to ensure that our ego is decimated. Let us not cause any inconvenience to the Lord. Let us not cause any pain to the Lord by our ego. And the ones who did not have any ego, the gopis and the gopalas, and all the simple, innocent rural folk of Gokul Vrindavan, they were all very close to the Lord. They were around the Lord. They were basking in the bliss of the Lord's glory. If you do not have ego, and if your heart is for the Lord, if it is pure, purity comes only when ego goes, then you are with the Lord. You enjoy the leelas of the Lord. You bask in the sweetness of the Lord. So that is the first line, Giridhara Bala Gopala. We move on to the next line, Govinda Govinda Gopala.
ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോപാല.
ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക് ഗോപാല മീൻസ് ദ വൺ ഹു ടെൻഡ്സ് ടു ദ കൗസ്, ഗോവിന്ദ ഓൾസോ മീൻസ് ദ സെയിം. വൺ ഇൻ ഹർ സിഗ്നിഫിക്കൻസ് ഇസ് ഹൗ ദ ലോർഡ് ടെൻഡ്സ് ടു അവർ ബീസ്റ്റിയൽ ടെൻഡൻസീസ്, ഹൗ ഹി ഹെൽപ്സ് എസ് ടു ഓവർകം അവർ ആനിമൽ ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് സ്ലോലി റേസസ് അസ്. The Gopalas were raised to the level of sages and saints. That is what the Lord did to them once He lived amidst them, once they had their minds and souls focused on Him. They were no more simple rural-minded folk. They were enlightened souls. Their stories illumine our hearts and minds 5,000 years later. This is what proximity with the Lord does to us, and that is what Govinda Govinda Gopala conveys. We move on to the next line.
Giridhara Bala Gopala.
Again, it's a repeat of the first line. Let's move on to the fourth line.
ഗോപിലോലാ ഗോപാല.
ഭഗവാൻ ഹസ് ഓൾവേസ് മെൻഷൻഡ് ഹൗ വെൻ ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ടു ദി എപ്പിറ്റമി ഓഫ് ഡിവോഷൻ, ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇല്ലസ്ട്രിയസ് എക്സാമ്പിൾ ആർ ദ ലൈഫ്സ് ഓഫ് ദ ഗോപീസ് ആൻഡ് ഗോപാലാസ്. വെനെവർ ഭഗവാൻ ടോക്ഡ് അബൌട്ട് ഡിവൈൻ ലവ്, ഇൻസ്റ്റൻസസ് ഫ്രോം ഭാഗവതം, ഇൻസ്റ്റൻസസ് from Radha's life, instances from Suguna, Gopika's life would always be a part of the discourse. It is as if only to demonstrate to the world what is divine love, Bhagavan created that whole scene in Gokul Vrindavan of living with these gopis and gopalas. If you listen to the story of a gopi, your heart will become empty of anything that is not godly. To fill yourself with godliness, we just have to listen to the stories of the gopis and gopalas. That is what Uddhava learned. That is what Krishna taught Uddhava. And that is what Swami all the time was communicating to us through his discourses, whenever he talked about Bhagavatam, whenever he talked about Divya Prema, whenever he talked about capturing the Lord with your love. We move on to the last line.
Govardhanodhari Gopala.
Again, this alludes to the first line. In the first line, we said Giridhara Bala, the one who held aloft the mountain. And in the last line, you have the name of the mountain, Govardhanodhari Gopala. Govardhana mountain is that lucky piece of earth that the Lord chose to teach humanity such beautiful lessons. The Lord lifted that huge mountain with his tiny finger, and everyone who went close to the Lord, they all were under the shelter of his divine grace. As Krishna lifted the Govardhana mountain, all the rural people were saved. And there were also some Gopalas who held aloft their sticks because they thought that maybe they need to help Krishna. Krishna is lifting the entire mountain with his little finger. Maybe, God knows, he may not be able to do it. Probably we should support him. So they lifted their sticks and they had that satisfaction that they also supported. Without their support, God knows if Krishna with his tiny finger would have really been able to hold it for that long. And the Lord gave them that satisfaction that they indeed also lifted the mountain. And those Gopalas felt that they have indeed done something for the Lord. How often do we not fall into this maya? The Lord is the one who is lifting all our burdens with his tiny finger, and we think we are the ones protecting ourselves because, you know, we are putting these strenuous efforts. We are slogging out from morning till night, and
we have used our intelligence, our brain and brawn, and so we think we are the ones who are indeed looking after ourselves, little knowing that the Lord is the one who is holding. And the people who know that, they are never in a state of worry, because they know that they are not the one who are holding. It is the Lord who is doing it so effortlessly. They are the ones who never have any anxiety. They have no anxiety even if the Lord gives away and the mountain falls, because they know that that is good for them. Because they know that the Lord will never do anything that is not good for them. If the one who can lift all our problems as easily as just moving his little finger, if he is the one who wants to let the mountain fall, let it fall. The Lord knows what is best. But will the Lord ever do this? The Lord is our biggest well-wisher. He is the Govar Dhanodhari. He is all the time lifting our burdens. It is just that we have to recognize that. And if we recognize that and we go closer to Him, then we will always be protected. We will have the warmth of His presence. We will have the protection of His grace. And we will have the joy of witnessing His glory and His Leela. In fact, talking about the Leela of the Lord, in the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, Vijayamma narrates a very beautiful incident in the earlier days in Prashantanilam, where the Kalpa Vriksha tree is. There used to be a huge boulder under this tree, and nearly 200 people could comfortably sit on that rock. And Swami would often go there, and all these people would tag along with Bhagwan, and Swami would jump and pluck a handful of leaves from the tamarind tree, and Swami would give a leaf to each of the members there with Him, and then ask them to close their palms. And when they opened after a while, when Bhagwan commands, each one would find variety of things in their palms. So in one hand, the leaf would have converted to sugar candy. In another hand, it would have become a peppermint. In another hand, it would have become a rosary, and so on. And then even as everyone is stunned and excited by what they have been gifted with, Swami would then tell all of them to close their palms. And after a while, again He would command them to open. And now when they open, it will be back to the tamarind leaves. And then they would, some would feel sad. Oh, especially the little ones, you know, oh, we should have eaten that candy. Oh, we should have eaten that peppermint. But it is gone. I think Swami was telling how everything in this world is like this, isn't it? Coming and going, it is there today, tomorrow it is not there. We simply get attached. If we have His grace, He can convert at any point in time a leaf into a peppermint, a leaf into a rosary, a leaf into a car, a leaf into a house. But provided we look up to Him, provided we don't get attached to that, provided we get attached only to Him and not to that leaf. Because if you are attached to Him, any time He can give us a leaf which can become anything that He wants is good for us. Everything that the Lord does is filled with so much of significance. It is the same with Krishna. It is the same with Sai. In fact, a very beautiful incident comes to my mind. There was a humble devotee of Bhagwan who used to manage the cooperative stores of the ashram in the 80s. He was a role model for sincerity and commitment to Bhagwan's work. But what touched everyone the most was his humility. Just seeing him would fill one with inspiration. Once a week, this devotee used to go to the Anantapur city to pick up the supplies for the stores. And at every instance, he would inform Bhagwan through the secretary of the ashram. And only if Bhagwan permitted, he would go to Anantapur, make that 80-kilometer to and fro trip. On one occasion, when he was near Anantapur, his van met with a severe accident, and one of his legs was terribly hurt. He was immediately admitted in a hospital nearby, and the doctors diagnosed a fracture in the leg, and he was advised to remain in the hospital at Anantapur for a few weeks. And all this was reported to Bhagwan, and Swami immediately sent the ashram secretary to check on him at Anantapur. And this devotee was so thrilled to see Bhagwan's emissary at his bedside.
you know, that thought that Bhagwan has been inquiring about you and Swami has sent vibhuti for you, all those things that the secretary said filled this devotee with so much joy. He was so touched by Bhagwan's love. He told the secretary, can you please make this prayer on my behalf to Swami? I want to write a letter to Swami. Can you please pass it on to him? And the secretary says, sure, why not? You please write. And so this devotee, with difficulty, he penned a short note wherein, in effect, he wrote, dearest Swami, it is you who saved my life. Out of your immense compassion, you have now sent vibhuti for my cure. I am ever grateful to you, Swami. You are my savior. You are my doctor. A million salutations at your lotus feet. So with all gratitude, with all love, he wrote this letter, and the secretary promptly presented that letter to Bhagwan once he returned. And Swami then and there opened the letter and he read every word of it thoroughly. And about a week later, the devotee was discharged from the hospital in Anandpur, and he was so happy, delighted to return to Puttaparthi, not only because Prashanti was, you know, his place of work, his home, his everything, but also because the Dasara celebrations were just 15 days away and he did not want to miss the festivities. Every year he used to be so engaged in doing many things for the Dasara festival, and now he did not want to miss those opportunities because of his fracture. And now that he was back in Parthi, he thought he will recover very soon and be back in action. But the only problem was the orthopedic doctors had told him clearly that he will not be able to walk for another 1 month. But this devotee was just desperate to get rid of that caste, you know, before the celebrations began. And this was one worry that he always had. So when he came back to Parthi and when Bhagwan came for darshan, he was sitting in the darshan on the wheelchair, and Swami came near him, and Swami immediately asked, when did you come? And he said, Swami, I came yesterday. How is the leg healing? What did the doctor say? Bhagwan asked very lovingly, and this devotee said, Swami, the doctors have said that it will take 1 month to heal. Swami said, oh, okay, good, don't worry, it will heal. So Swami said that, and Swami blessed him, and he continued with his darshan rounds. The devotee was happy and also sad. Happy, obviously, because Swami noticed him, Swami spoke to him, Swami blessed him. But he was also sad because, you know, he thought Swami would do something so that his recovery would be faster. Because he felt Swami knows that he wants to be back in action for Dasara. So Swami probably should have done something. Swami probably should have touched that area and, you know, he should have immediately healed. So he had so many sort of expectations of what would happen, and none of that happened. Swami just said, good. And he was all the time feeling, Swami knows how eager I am to get out of this wheelchair. So he was therefore a bit disappointed. So the next day came and Bhagwan again came to him during darshans. And as soon as he saw him, Swami asked, how are you? What did the doctor say? When is your leg going to get better? And the devotee again repeated what he had told. Yesterday he said, Swami, the doctors have said that it will take 1 month to heal. And Swami simply said, fine, blessed him, and he walked away. Now the same thing happened on the third day. Swami came to him, what did the doctor say? When will you walk? Same question from Bhagwan. And this devotee had no other answer. He said, Swami, the doctors have said that I will recover in 1 month. And Swami again blessed him and he moved on. And after Bhagwan left that day, this devotee felt, you know, maybe there was something amiss, you know. Why is Swami asking me the same question every day? Am I not answering it right? Am I missing some detail? In fact, not only him, even the people who were sitting around him, they also started thinking that maybe there is something quizzical about this whole situation. So he went back home and in the whole day he was contemplating on it, you know, what is the catch? Is there something that I'm not getting it right? So
when he went back home, you know, his wife saw that he was so worried. So in the night, when his wife asked, then he discussed with his wife and he said, you know, I'm unable to understand why Swami is asking me the same question every day. Doesn't he know? Then his wife thought for a while and said, I remember you telling me that you wrote a letter to Swami when you were in the hospital. And the devotee said, yes, yes, I wrote. In fact, the secretary later told me that Swami read every word of that letter. So the wife asked, what did you write in that? And the devotee recalled the contents of the letter and, you know, he narrated in every detail. And he said that, you know, I ended the letter saying, Swami, you are my savior, you are my doctor, a million salutations at your lotus feet. This is all I said. And the wife immediately said, there you are. You have the answer. If Swami asks you tomorrow again, just tell him this, whatever you wrote in this letter. Why are you telling a different story? So the next day, thanks to Providence, Bhagwan again comes to him. And for the fourth time, Swami asks him, what are the doctors saying? And the devotee now just caught hold of Bhagwan's hands and, you know, in tears, he said, Swami, you are my doctor. Whenever you say, I will walk. Whenever you will, I will walk. That's all, Swami. I know nothing else. And Swami instantly said, then why were you all the time saying that doctors told me this, doctors told me that? And the devotee cried his heart out, holding Bhagwan's hand in repentance. And Swami was there, lovingly caressing him, consoling him with so much love. And then Bhagwan gave the assurance. Swami said, you will walk in 1 week. Imagine the joy of that devotee. At the end of 7 days, needless to say, he was back on his feet. And with so much ecstasy, joy, exhilaration, he participated in the Dasara celebrations. Only when we leave everything in God's hand will we experience God's hand in everything. He is in fact waiting to uplift us. He is the Govardhanodhari. But we have to look up and we have to hold on to him with both our hands. We have to go close to him. We have to take shelter under him, under his umbrella, under his grace. Then we will always be under his heavenly care. This bhajan, dear listeners, will uplift us, will fill us with the umbrella of his assurance, of his grace, of his solace, of his comfort, provided we offer ourselves, provided we surrender ourselves. You are everything, Lord. I am nothing. If you will, you can change anything in a second. Let me be close to you. Let me always offer my everything to you in complete supplication. This is what this bhajan can do to us. So dear listeners, every bhajan is actually Vedanta, if you can just ruminate on what is conveyed, what is contained in it. Let us use this beautiful opportunity to sublimate ourselves so that one day we just become one with Krishna, one with Sai. Let's sing this bhajan once again along with the brothers and sisters in Prashant Nilayam.
Giridhar Bala Gopala,
Giridhar Bala Gopala,
Giridhar Bala Gopala,
Govinda, Govinda, Gopala,
Govinda, Govinda, Gopala,
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. We hope you like this episode. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet. You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 10th May 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.